MySpace, the fastest growing community website, highly popular with Americans' teens, are removing 200,000, yes, objectionable profiles from its site as it steps up efforts to calm the fears about the safety of the network for young users. The site that allows them to create their own profiles with details of their interest that can be viewed by others linking to MySpace.com friends was acquired by Rupert Murdoch's News Corporation last year, and its phenomenal growth has placed it in the center of the media company's internet strategy. Ross Levinson, head of News Corporation's internet division, said some of the material taken down contained hate speech. Some of it was too risque. It's a problem that's epidemic to the internet, not just MySpace.
I don't know. How could it be too? Don't they already have rules that you can't put nudity up there?
Well, you can post whatever you want until someone complains about it.
Oh, I see. They don't scan it when you sign up.
Mm-mm.
It's like if somebody bitches about it. Have you seen that guy that's one of my MySpace friends? And he's a guy, and his profile picture is just two girls making out. It's like an animated GIF. Because sometimes the profile picture is just a still. Like, mine is just a still of, like, you know, the shirt or a pentagram or whatever. And sometimes the profile picture is like a little 2-second video clip that cycles. And this is like a little video clip of some chicks making out. And that's his profile picture. And I think it's because, I think it's to promote the fact he has actually started a website where people host pictures that have gotten kicked off MySpace. In other words, if your picture has gotten you kicked off MySpace, he's building a little shrine to that. He's sort of building a shrine to pictures that were too hot for MySpace. And so that's kind of what, and so if you click on his profile, that's what it takes you to. Well, whatever. Anyway, you're not supposed to post anything good up there anyway.
Oh, here's the second story. Dateline North Smithfield, Rhode Island. A teenage girl has been charged with conspiracy in the child pornography case involving two other teenagers. A 16-year-old from Lincoln was arrested and charged with conspiracy. She's accused of taking explicit photos of two friends. 19-year-old Elizabeth Muller of North Smithfield and a 16-year-old girl from Lincoln whose name has not yet been released. The photos were later posted on their MySpace website. The name of the third girl who was charged Wednesday has not been released. The other two teens were arrested early this week and charged with child pornography.
I just weep that I wasn't born at the right time. As I've often said, there's just no better time to be a teenage boy than now. I mean, I had nothing like this. I was busy looking at the Sears Roebuck catalog for hours on end every night. It was completely pointless. All right, there you go. So that thus ends MySpace.com. Youth in crisis. All right, there you go. Well, let's do one more. Then we'll do the worst song ever. Then we'll bring in Scott Daly from FilmFever.org.
State environmental workers spent the better part of their day Wednesday scooping up something unpleasant, processed human waste. To be specific, from a highway ramp near Odessa, Texas. The substance, about 5 tons of it, escaped from a tarp-colored trailer truck that flipped over on its side about 8:15 in the morning, just in time for rush hour. Police have cited the driver with careless driving for traveling too fast and failing to negotiate a curve. The truck had an open top of the cargo-type cover, allowing half the load to escape.
Why would you do that? If certain things can be hauled in an open-top truck, potatoes, for example, or bark, not 5 tons of sewage. That's the sort of thing where you want a canopy, a tarp, something. Doesn't matter.
How would you like to be a member of the substance police who arrived at the scene?
No, I would not like
and
that.
Call this human waste that oozed over the pavement and shoulder the highway.
It oozed. Oh, that's fantastic.
But it became stabilized sludge after a while.
Stabilized sludge.
A copious amount of lime was spread in the area to kill the pathogens.
There's that guy, he's backing up a huge truck of that pink stuff that the janitor has to put on your vomit. What is that stuff, anyway?
No.
That's an investigation that needs to be done. I want to know what's in that pink stuff that the janitor has in the bucket that he tosses on your vomit in school.
Maybe coin 6 could go over there.
Maybe that could be your touching human interest story. All right, are we done with that?
I suppose we are.
Did you hear that little evil cackle?
We're always trying to help our they're not really a sister station, are they?
Uh-uh.
No, they're just a CBS affiliate.
But we're in some sort of thrice-removed kind of way.
We're in the same building.
We're sort of related to them and some.
We're related to Quiznos then, too.
We're upstairs to them.
All right.
If we jumped up and down, they could hear us downstairs.
All right. Let's do the worst song ever. Is my computer up here?
Yeah.
All right. So this was sent to me by several people. I don't have the name of this artist. It's just some sort of amateur band. I'm not even going to introduce this except to say that I don't have the name of the artist, but it was sent to me by a couple different people. And It really is. It's like Centipede for the ears. So here we go. Let me just tell you.
As far as late 60s,
it's the worst song you've ever heard. Right, early. Richard vs. Chew. It's like playing that big organ in your grandmother's living room with the big switches.
We leave it together, but still it's farewell. And maybe we come back to old Gaston. I guess there is no one to play. We leave it round, leave it round.
Doing his own backup vocals. No. I mean, I don't know who it is, but it's not an Asian man. Okay.
No.
I'm going to pause this. Here's what Sarah just did. Sarah asked, is this William Hung? And I said, no, it's not an Asian man. Sarah just pulled her hands up to her chest. Imagine if your hands were coming out of your bosoms.
That is a lie.
Sarah just pulled her hands up to her chest and flapped them around. Like thalidomide baby style, and mouthed to the and then like as though I didn't get like what she was implying, said, like totally mouthing the word retarded
I
at me.
I said disabled.
Like I wasn't sure. Like I'm not clear on what like the universal symbol for retarded is. Yes, is he a T-Rex? And how am I supposed to know? It seems like a coin toss, really. It's like the band is being informed of the notes only seconds before they have to play them. Listen to the keyboardist, he's not quite able to. It's sort of like, well, I'll just get most of them. This song is not even half over. It's achieving a sort of atonal brilliance. If this was being played on the saxophone by Miles Davis, you'd think it was genius. I'm unclear about whether English is even his first language. Like some endurance test. And all right, we're done. I'm sorry. It's my cell phone. I should take this. Don't mind me. This is Rick. Really, are we? That's official. Excellent, thank you.
Yeah.
All right, there you go. All right, that's
is
fantastic.
It what I think it is?
It is, but we can't announce it. We're going to have to make people wait.
Oh, man. Oh, this is good. It's really, 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 really good.
It's a guarantee.
But it's done.
You know, if I merged it, it'd be like a guarantee. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Hi, Yeah, this is Bob Plutka.
Okay, well, that's more information than I had. What? How can I help you, sir?
Well, Rick just played a song on the radio,
yeah,
and I wanted him to know who it was and the fact that I also have the video for it.
Who is it?
It's a band called Deep Sunshine.
Really?
Yeah. And
where are they from?
Well, as far as I know, from Florida area.
No, really?
Yeah, and the reason I say this is because I have a local business here. We sell vacuum tubes for guitar amps, and actually, one of Rick's buddies, Jay Haygood, who was in your
you know you're talking.
Band.
Okay, now you know that this is Rick, right?
No, I don't know this is Rick.
Hi.
Oh, well, you blew me out, man. Okay, so here's the deal.
Yes.
You know a good friend of mine, actually, he's an employee of mine, works for me. This is a company called Eurotubes, and we do vacuum tubes.
Right.
So Jay Haygood works here.
Jay Haygood is in the Bigger Than Jesus house band.
You betcha.
Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, the band that you were just listening to is a band called Deep Sunshine.
Right.
Okay, the kicker was they sent me this video, and, of course, my gig here is that, you know, I sell vacuum tubes to guitar players, and they wanted to know how to make their amplifiers sound
right.
better.
Well, it didn't really work. it's really a bit relative, I think.
Yeah.
All right.
So anyway, I just wanted to
Thank
let you know who they were, and also that I have the video that accompanies this, and it really puts this thing to bed.
Thank you. I appreciate it, sir.
Would you like me to email it to you?
No, please don't. Well, no, go ahead. What am I saying? Go ahead. Thank you, sir.
I'll send it as an attachment.
All right, thank you.
All right.
That's Bob. Chuck emails and says, maybe Mr. Cruz can put that on the iPod for Katie. Yes. All right, there you go. All right, thank you. All right, we have to break here. Now, here's what's going to happen. We're going to break. Come back. I got Scott Dowley from FilmFever.org going to be in just one moment. We're going to talk about terrible sequels, including but not limited to Basic Instinct 2. And then we come back from the break. Sarah, would you say that what we're going to say on the other side of the break is a large announcement?
I would. Oh, boy. Yes.
Would you say it's a big announcement?
I would say I am very, 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 very excited about it.
You'd say that it's
I would say that I think that the listeners are going to be really very stoked.
Officially stoked?
Yes.
Are they going to be pumped as well?
Yes.
Fantastic. Well, all right. So when we get back, we have a major announcement on the other side of this break, as they say in the FM world. So don't go anywhere. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Also reminding you, if you want to fight on behalf of the city or fight on behalf of the suburbs as part of Sport Fight 15, which is happening next Saturday at the Rose Garden, featuring the city versus suburbs bout, here's what you got to do, and you got to enter within the next couple days. You've got to do it by Sunday at midnight. Johnson970.com is where you want to go. Go to Johnson970.com. Fill out all the forms there, fill out the application, and you could be fighting in the Rose Garden, representing either the city or the suburbs, part of Sport Fight 15. Find all the rules and details at Johnson970.com. Do it now. Back after this with a major announcement. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Thank you for coming by, making the part of your listening day. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. I appreciate you being part of it. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. All right. In just a moment, we'll welcome to the Rick Emerson Show our good friend Scott Dowley from FilmFever.org or wherever he's from now. And real quickly, I gotta say, there's so much to get through today. So little to do, so much time. We gotta get to a whole bunch of stuff, but don't forget to go to Johnson970.com, because you gotta do it by the end of the weekend. Sunday at midnight is the deadline, for entering to be part of Sport Fight 15, which is happening next Saturday, April 8th, at the Rose Garden. Matt the Law Lindland's gonna be in the studio next week. Also, Randy, the Natural Couture's gonna be in the studio. And they are looking for someone to fight on behalf of the city, someone to fight on behalf of the suburbs. And we have many, The shame and degradation that had been brought on the city today by this guy backing out. So we have many suburban entrants, city entrants as well, although I really feel like we need to compensate for the fact that, and a mechanic of all things, a mechanic from Southeast would back out, tail between his legs, run away, shell of a man, a husk of what he once was. So you have to, as the kids say, represent and so forth. So go to Johnson970.com and sign up. Find out all the details how you could be part of Sport Fight 15 happening live in front of thousands of people at the Rose Garden next Saturday, April 8th. All right, so are we ready for the big announcement?
Yeah.
All right, do we have gripping, thrilling intro music?
I'm sure I can find something.
All right, well, let's find the... Thank you.
Is that not thrilling?
Previously, this is like soap opera.
You know,
welcome.
I'm working with what I have.
The Edge of Wetness, starring. All right.
Do you want me to find something else?
Yeah. Do we have something else?
I don't know. No, we haven't. Well, all the sound that we put in are like our watches.
Right, we have nothing. All right, hold on. I've got something. All right, ladies
That's
and gentlemen.
Perfect.
We are proud to present the following special announcement right here on the Rick Emerson Show. Now.
God.
This instant is when we will be announcing
Rick
the following exciting news. Ladies and gentlemen, we are proud to announce now officially. Now, we were not able to officially announce this. It was one of those things that was in the pipeline, as they say. It was in the works. They were working on it, but it was... you got to wait until everything is signed and dotted, and you know, don't mean a thing till everything is, like... Till everything is in ink on the paper. We are proud to announce...
Can I announce it?
Coming up... Three weeks from yesterday, coming up Thursday, April 20th, the first post-firing, post-return Rick Emerson listener party. Thursday, April 20th, at Sabala's Mount Tabor on 49th and Hawthorne. Thursday, April 20th, 7 p.m., Sabala's Mount Tabor, Rick Emerson listener party. Is it 9? I think it's 9.
9 or 10. I can't believe you didn't let me announce it.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead and announce it.
No, it's okay.
Okay, I'm sorry.
That's just my home away from home.
Everybody knows that you are their biggest fan. You love Sabala's. So, Thursday, April 20th. It is, as Scott Daly just noted, it is 4:20 that this will be happening on, so you can insert your witticism here. Insert your Hawthorne wit here. 4:20 on Thursday, April 20th, 7 p.m., Rick Emerson Listener Party 9, the first party post-firing, the first party post-return. That'll be happening Thursday, April 20th, 7 p.m., at Sarah Dillon's Home Away From Home, Sabala's Mount Tabor. So your phone, not even, your phone's ringing, not even 5 seconds ago, I say, your phone starts to ring.
Oh, it's from Jen Lane again.
Really?
Sweet.
All right. So we've got all details are all coming. We'll get to all the details. And there's a whole lot of people who have made it happen. There's a whole lot of sponsors and clients and people who got banded together that are behind this. We're going to be announcing all. We'll be talking more about it. So all of the details will be coming shortly. We'll get into all that. But for now, what you need to know is you need to mark it down in your calendar. You need to mark this down. Thursday, April 20th, 7 p.m., Sabala's Mount Tabor. That will be when the next Rick Emerson listener party, our first since being let go, our first since wandering alone in the wilderness for 11 months, our first since returning. So that is happening 3 weeks from yesterday. All right. You make a note. We'll have more details on that even before the show is out today. Even before the show concludes, we will have more details on that. And for now, we are running dangerously behind. So we gotta roll with the program here. Ladies and gentlemen, let's wait. Oh, wait, I don't think I have Scott Daly's, I don't have Scott Daly's theme. Wait, hold on. Ladies and gentlemen.
Help.
Joining us now from filmfever.org, our good friend Scott Dally, how are you, sir?
I am well. Thanks for pointing out that I mentioned it was 420.
Yeah, well.
You all damn well knew.
Oh, I everyone knows you're a pothead.
I am not a pothead.
I figure the people...
I never touch this.
I'm sorry?
I don't.
I know, because you work at a bank, and that would be wrong.
That's right.
You sure
that would
is.
Be irresponsible for you. To, how are you, sir?
I am well. I'm really annoyed, actually, that it is 420, because I'm in Vegas for 3 days, and I come back on the 20th.
What are you in Vegas for?
For work.
It's for work.
It's a three-day conference.
Who sends you? Well, I guess that's for work. I guess the NAB has a thing in Vegas. Exactly. I can't really complain about that.
But no, my plane lands like at 9 o'clock that night, so I may have to come straight from the plane to Mount Tabor. So,
sounds like you really should. This is going
to
be.
I think I have to. I think I'm required.
It's going
to
be. I'm pretty sure that it's going to be the best thing in the history of the world.
And as you pointed out a little bit ago, almost exactly a year to the day that you were kicked off the air.
That is actually true. Now, see, that's the thing I didn't mention is that not only is it on 420, which I swear to God was really just a coincidence. We didn't really.
Beautiful. It's a beautiful thing.
We really didn't go out of our way to find. Although I'm sure that somewhere Rob from the House of Rick is like dancing and he's twirling around a maypole somewhere. And
he's the first one I thought of. Actually.
Putting on some tie dye. 420. You know, that's really not right. Why we picked it. We didn't pick it because it's a pop thing.
He's lighting up a bowl right now.
No, we don't advocate or condone.
No.
That would be wrong. So I'm not, that wasn't why we picked it. The reason we picked it was because, you know, we always try to do it on a Thursday because we want to be able to talk about it the following day. And also because they fired us, Entercom fired us on 4/21. 4/21 is actually when they fired it, but of course we didn't want to do it on a Friday. And people have asked about that in the past. They said, well, why do you do it on a Thursday? And it's obvious because we want to be able to talk about it all week, do it, and then we want to be able to recap the next day. Well, all that's still, because by Monday, Sarah wouldn't be drunk anymore. Everything has faded out of your brain. You've tried, you know, you've tried to flush the memories and all the chemicals out of your body. So that allows us to recap it the next day.
Right.
Almost to the day. Like, it's within 5 or 6 hours of being the 1 year anniversary from when they fired us, when they canceled the show.
And I'm very impressive of how quickly it's been put together. I mean,
dude,
my lord, you've only been there 3 weeks and it's happening already.
It's because of the people. And when I say the people, I do mean the listeners, but I don't mean the listeners. I mean, we're talking clients, as well. I mean, we're talking about people, and obviously we're going to be doing it at Cibolas Montaber, but I mean, it's a CD Game Exchange, it's a Four Wheel Parts, it's Wild Bills, it's, you know, people who have money where my mouth is. So we want to thank, everybody. And we will be doing that. We'll be talking a lot about it. It's going to be unfolding. We got details to put together. We got logistics to work out, all of that. But the important thing is that it is now. It is down. It is booked. It is scheduled, locked, loaded, ready to roll. Our first post-return listener party. It's going to be happening Thursday, April 20th. Thursday, 4:20. Cibolas Montaver.
Fantastic.
It's going to be fantastic.
That's going to be great.
All right. Hey, you know what's not going to be fantastic?
What's that?
Basic Instinct 2, Scott Daly.
Yes.
Look at that.
Actually, today is the day of sequels. Not only is Basic Instinct 2, again, come on. Come with a better title.
Basic Instinct 2.
Yeah, there's that. There is the fact that Michael Douglas wanted nothing to do with it, thank God.
Well, Joe Esterhaz.
And Joe Esterhaz is nowhere near it.
Joe Esterhaz,
he's MIA, actually.
He's gone. Well, did you read his book?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's...
There's a reason why.
Hollywood Animal, that's
anymore.
A guy who just vanished.
Yeah.
You know, do you realize he got paid $4 million to write Basic Instinct?
One of the highest paid screenwriters.
And you know that the script for Basic Instinct, he got paid... This is a true story. Joe Esterhaz, who wrote Showgirls, Basic Instinct... And I'm pretty sure it was Basic Instinct, not Showgirls, if this is true, where he sketched out the plot literally on a cocktail napkin.
It was Basic Instinct.
And they gave him $4 million for it.
Yes.
He gets a cocktail, he's like, lesbian, ice pick, feeling, sex. Here you go. No.
Psychiatrist.
You know, crotch. You know, and they handed him, they're like, $4 million. Here you go, Joe. Yep. Highest paid screenwriter in history. That is, it was a 4-sentence description on a cocktail napkin. $1 million a sentence they wrote him. They paid him for that. 4-sentence description on a cocktail napkin. And they, you know, that's what he got paid for that.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah, and now basically.
Did they screen it for anybody?
No.
I'm gonna go. I'm a Basic Instinct fan.
And Sharon Stone,
leathery and
orange.
Well, and she's got. Sarah had this picture of her on her blog where she I've always joked about her looking reptilian, but where she literally, didn't she have green lipstick on?
Yeah. I don't know, like, what her stylist was thinking. It was terrible.
She looked like Diana, the evil reptile from V.
Her lips were kind of glowing.
Jane Badham or whatever her name was. Yeah, totally. I mean, I think that Sharon Stone has been shaving years off her age, like, since the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how old she claimed she was in 92.
She looked 45 in 92. Sorry, but, you know.
It's true. And that plastic surgery only goes, like, so far. And, of course,
the Botox only lasts so long.
And the thing is, because, of course, she's so locked into this I'm a sex kitten thing, because she has no real skill as an actress.
Yeah.
Every review I've read of this film says that the biggest problem, apart from the script and the acting and the directing...
And the movie itself
and the premise and everything about it, the other biggest problem is that the movie requires you to believe that, like, a 70-year-old woman is still, like, bewitching every man with her
lesbian ways.
No, that like, her womanly bits are still seductive, you know, as she's, like, a septuagenarian.
So the big question is the womanly bits segment in this film. Do we know?
Oh, please, don't even hint at that. Why do you even got a joke about that?
Because...
Maybe she dances provocatively to a Shania Twain song.
With a shotgun.
With a shotgun, yeah.
Shakes her meaty flanks to a...
Oh.
Sorry.
I need a shower.
Look at my skin. It is made of rich Corinthian leather.
See how it stretches.
Oh, good times. I'm going to see it, though.
I'll see it with you.
Really? You want to see it?
It sounds like a real winner.
Totally. It's a date. Let's go.
Let's go.
The Simpsons are going to Basic Instinct 2.
Yay!
I mean, seriously, it looks... Because, I mean, there's bad, and then there's bad. And this looks to be the latter. You know what I mean?
Yeah, this is definitely the latter.
I'm all over it.
I think you nailed it with the Showgirls bad. That's what it looks like.
Totally. I think it's
seemingly worse than Showgirls bad because at least with Showgirls bad, they were trying to do something. With Basic Instinct 2, they appear to be trying to recreate
something. It's a pure cash-in.
14 years old.
It's a pure cash-in. It's like pure, as Dennis Miller would say, it's a pure money run on this.
Yeah, totally. Totally. Which got me to thinking.
Yes.
What were some other great...
What is with your cell phone?
I'm sorry. Everyone's excited. People are text messaging me.
Because of the listener party coming up 4:20. So, no, Wallace Montaver, 49th and author.
It's about Sharon Stone's leathery skin.
Yes, Rick, I have a comment about Fulton.
Fulton Shanks.
Fulton.
Oh, boy.
Good times. All right.
I'm just
thinking about what, Scott Daly?
About other bad sequels.
What are some other sequels that are terrible?
And not only that, but there's a couple things. Number one, I think you can, and me being a father now, I can say this. I kind of excuse family films as sequels.
Because those are not good to begin with.
Yeah, well, that's
who's
not
it?
True.
You know, Beethoven 6.
Yeah, oh, exactly.
The first one was genius. They defiled it with that sequel.
And then don't forget Beethoven's 9th. Indeed.
Some of those, like, again, a family movie, it's like you don't expect those.
No, you really don't. You really don't. And then there's horror films, too. There's the string of Freddie Mercury films. There's a string
Freddie
of
Mercury films.
Whoa, my God.
What are you talking about? Is it 420 where you live?
Wow.
Freddie Mercury films. There's some sort of a joke there that I'm not morning show enough to be able to make.
Sorry,
but slasher films, nobody expects those to be good. Or like a Jason versus Freddy, it is what it is.
Exactly.
I'm talking about
the one film I never walk out of films.
Good. Let me see if I can guess. It was the one film you walked out on.
Yes.
It was a sequel?
It was a sequel to an amazing classic film.
Okay, wait, don't tell me.
Okay.
Let's see, action?
Comedy.
You walked out.
Yes.
It was a comedy.
Well, it tried to be a comedy.
Theoretically, it was a comedy and a sequel to a classic film.
Yeah.
Caddyshack 2.
No.
Oh, damn. Wait. Did it start with Dan Aykroyd in any way involved?
Yes.
Ghostbusters 2.
No.
Oh, damn. What else is there?
Pinnacle Dan Aykroyd film.
Don't tell. Oh, Blues Brothers 2000. Did you even go see
as
that?
I don't know. As soon as Aretha Franklin started busting out in Respect 2000, I turned to my buddy Dave.
And is that like a little 9-year-old Blues Brother?
Yeah. Belushi should be rolling over in his grave.
Yeah.
I mean, Dan Aykroyd, I'm sorry. I was just the worst.
Dan Aykroyd hasn't made a good... When is the last comedy that Dan Aykroyd made that wasn't bad?
Sneakers.
Yeah, well, look at that. There you go. And that's 15 years ago.
15 years, yeah.
Decade and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah, the worst sequel ever to a good film is, I'm thinking now, See, everybody rags on Godfather 3, but there's worse.
No, there's far worse.
Worst sequel to a good film. I mean, I'm thinking maybe Superman 4, The Quest for Peace.
Yeah.
Superman 3, maybe even?
Yeah, but Superman 3 had Richard Pryor.
Yeah, but it wasn't good Richard Pryor.
Well, no, but I mean...
All right, hold on. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Hey, this is Jesse Jones.
Hi, Jesse. How can I help you, sir?
I've got the best / worst sequel ever.
All right.
Cruel Intentions 2.
Cruel Intentions 2 is that scene where the twin girls are making out in the shower, though.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. That's a terrible movie.
What I mean, it's a bad movie. I mean, I've never seen the rest of it. I only have
you
that 20-second clip I got off the internet. And it's the twins. It's twin sisters making out nude in a shower.
That's just wrong.
And they're real twins. It's not like with
wrong.
Some of that porn. It's not like with some of the porn where they get girls who look like twins. Like, it's like, where they, you know, like, you look like you could be twins. Make out. It's like real sisters. I read all about it on the net. It's real sisters making out nude in the shower.
God.
They're real twins, and they're real hot.
And they're hot.
They're
not like...
smoking.
I mean, because it's like layers of difficulty. First, we got to find twins. Then we got to find twins that are hot. Then we got to find twins that'll get nude. Then we got to find hot twins that'll make out while nude in a shower. I mean, it really is like... it's really like stumbling on a Picasso.
See,
probably lived in Florida. You know.
Yes.
Yeah. You guys are talking about the hotness of twins making out in the shower. Well, I do not disagree. However, Cruel Intentions 2 raises another point in sequels. There are the theatrical release sequels, such as...
Oh, that was straight to video, right.
Then there's the whole slew...
like a Poison Ivy 2.
Poison Ivy 2.
Yeah. Isn't there like four Poison Ivy films now?
Yeah.
All
of them. So it's... I mean, there's different ones. And so I was thinking about sequels. And it's all over the place.
All right. Let's see here. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Corey, Slapshot 2.
I'm sorry?
Slapshot 2.
Slapshot 2, which I've never even seen. I saw it in the video store one time, and I'm like, no. And I just walked right by. It's like I stopped for like half a second, and and I just moved on.
The Hanson...
absolutely horrible. Baldwin's in it.
Which Baldwin?
I don't know. One of them.
Fatty Baldwin?
Big one.
Baldy Baldwin?
I don't know. They're all the same.
Yeah,
I'm
with you.
No idea.
All right, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes.
All right, there's Slapshot 2. All I know is there's Biodome Baldwin, there's Homicide Life on the Street Baldwin. That's how I know by the film.
The fat druggie.
Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
This is Eric.
Hi, Eric. Worst sequel to a good film?
Batman 4.
Now listen. Well, go ahead.
Well, no, I think Batman and Robin?
No, it is Batman and Robin. Yeah.
I think the hack Schumacher versions of Batmans aren't even considered sequels. I can't recognize that.
I know that I talked to Mike Chase about this one time because I think he had an interview scheduled with Joe Schumacher to promote some movie, Tigerland or something. And I know that he didn't do it because he's such a polite guy and it's not in him to be mean.
Right.
But his first, I know that he wanted his first question. How does it feel to be the man who ruined Batman? You know, that's totally like, because I mean,
tough shoes to fill. So, and boy, he sure
right.
destroyed that.
All right. Thank you. Excellent. There you go. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Monica.
Hi, Monica. How was I like suddenly we're all with the sex boy. Hi, baby. How are you? Where are you calling from?
I can't tell you.
Hi.
It's a secret.
Because is it a naughty secret?
It is.
Excellent.
Rick, shall we leave?
Monica, what celebrity would you say you most resemble?
Do I most resemble?
Yes.
Oh, God. I don't know.
Doesn't matter. You can just keep talking about whatever.
Just keep talking. You can lie, too.
Yeah, I don't care. Just read whatever's in front of you. Owner's manual, phone book,
People magazine.
What are you calling to talk about, Monica? Not that I care. I mean, it just doesn't matter. It all sounds good.
Oh, okay. Well, I won the Winter Hawks ticket.
Yes.
I can't go.
Oh, that's what... Is it just you can't find a date?
No,
you just need the right man, baby.
Well, the right man is going to the Mariners game tonight.
What kind of a man... Are you going with him?
No.
He's leaving you at home alone?
Yes.
He doesn't deserve you, Monica.
I know.
Monica, you're too good for him. You can do better, honey.
You think so?
I can.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I can. I do think that's so. So these are just going back in the in the hopper, as it were.
Yes.
All right. So, how's your day, Monica?
Oh, it's going...
Tell me about your childhood. Anything. Doesn't matter. Say random numbers or just, read me things off labels in your inner pantry. Doesn't matter.
All right. Actually, I'm at work.
Where are you working at? Can you tell me?
I'm working in a cubicle in
really?
This building. Uh-huh.
Now, do you do work on the phone?
For the most part, yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now what is this? What kind of phone work is
Everyone
this?
Everyone knows what you're implying.
Sarah's just this, they're disgusting.
I'm saying, because whatever they're paying you per minute or per hour, you could do better, baby.
I'm pretty sure I could.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
All right, you let me know you ever need a little help with that.
Oh, I will. You'll be the first person I call.
Big Daddy Rick will get you set up.
Oh, I'm sure you will.
All right.
Monica, what's the worst sequel to a great film?
She doesn't know.
What's the what?
What's the worst sequel to a good film?
To a good film.
I have no idea.
What's your favorite film?
Mine?
Yes.
Gosh, I don't know.
What's the one film you put in your DVD over and over and over again?
Probably Rundown.
I have no idea. Is it a porn film?
It could be.
Excellent. Okay, there you go. Beautiful. Your tote board was falling, but now you're back again. All right, thank you. Thank you, Monica.
Thanks.
All right. Yeah, for a minute there, she was drifting, but then she's like, it could be a porn, but she saved it. She pulled it out at
like
the end.
That. We're sad individuals, aren't we?
I like how immediately we're both like, hello, Monica.
Hello.
Yes. This is Ben Fong Torres of Rolling Stone. okay. Hello. Hi, Rick Everson Show. Who's this?
Hi, this is Paul.
Hey, boy, after Monica, it just sounds like such a come down.
Hey.
Hi, yeah, whatever. Hi, Paul, what's up?
Hey, worst sequel ever. Worst.
Yeah?
Exorcist 2, The Heretic.
Oh, yeah, yeah, but Exorcist 3 is good, though.
Followed up by a great Exorcist 3.
Exorcist 3's got that beheading scene in the hospital that's the freakiest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, that woman on the ceiling crawling.
Yeah.
Excellent. The rest of it just sucks.
Here's the thing about Exorcist 2, though, and I'm not saying that I'm in a prurient way because I think she was only like 12, but Linda Blair, they already had her in the tightest T-shirt because she was overdeveloped, at an underage. You know what I mean? And so they were already, like, they knew the movie was crap, though, because it's like the worse the script got, like, as they were writing it, like, the tighter the costumes got that they were going to put her in, so.
And how the heck did they score Richard Burton to do that crap?
Dude, after that movie, how did they score George C. Scott for the third one?
It took me a long time. I was kicking and screaming to watch
it. Clyde had to make me watch the third one. Like,
yeah,
he had to tie me down almost. All right.
Oh, boy, it was good.
Thank you, Paul.
Thanks.
Thank you. All right. Well, that's just, after Monica, it's all pointless. Sarah's just rolling her eyes. Sarah's not even listening anymore. She's just tuned out again.
No, I've learned to tune out when you guys...
You've gone to your happy place again.
Text message.
Do we have to do one more or two?
One.
All right. Well, let's take another call. Keep thinking Monica will call back. Hi. Who's this?
This is Kyle.
Jesus. All right. Hi, Kyle. How are you today?
Doing great.
Yeah, okay.
Great.
Swell. What's up, cool. Kyle?
Worst film ever?
Worst sequel. To a good film.
Well, I don't know if it's a good film, but Back to the Future, Back to the Future 2. TBS won't even replay it. They'll do one.
They go right to three. They skip it. Somehow we're in the Old West. Back to the Future 2
wasn't horrible.
It's not horrible, but the third one is better.
Third
one's far better than the second one, which you don't see a lot in sequels. Very rarely is the third one better than the first. But I'm with you on that when you're watching it, you know, you can sort of skip. It's like with the Star Wars, you know, those six films. It's like you just start with Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah.
You don't even, you know, it's like you just skip the first two. Yeah. I'm with you.
And Michael J. Fox's makeup in part two when he's older, his older self.
It's terrible. Thank you, sir.
Peeling off.
All right, there you go. Yeah, no, I don't have anything. Well, let's break here, Sarah. Let's break in the... Yes? You opened your mouth like you were going to say something.
Nope. Why would I talk?
listen to that. Kitten's got claws. Sorry. You know Monica can't hold a candle to you, baby.
I think Sarah's a little jealous over there.
Baby, she meant nothing to me. I was thinking of you the whole time. All right. Yeah. Okay. We're going to take a little break here. How are you? It's the Rick Emerson Show. Back after this. Like us at 3. World famous Phil Andrews Show at 7. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Back after this on Johnson 970. You stay right there. I know that I didn't get to the Liza Minnelli sex story. We'll get to that Monday, as well as this. A story containing the phrase castration, malice, rid of their sex organs, sadomasochistic dungeon. So we'll get to that. It is the Rick Emerson Show. We now enter the saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of our program. Johnson 970 AM. Thank you for coming by, making a party listening day. Like us up next, world famous Phil Henry Show at 7. And in case you missed the announcement, coming up on 420, coming up Thursday, April 20th, at Sabala's Mount Tabor. 49th and Hawthorne, right? 49th? I always want to say 41st or something, but it's not 49th.
It's up 49th, right across from the space room.
40.
I love the space room.
Me too.
Yeah, that's a place that has never changed. And that's what I love about it. You get a good stiff drink and
for good price.
For good price.
Yep.
Moving on. We're not encouraging people to drink.
Of course not.
Moving forward, we have Sabala's Mount Tabor. That's going to be happening 4:20 Thursday, April 20th, 7 p.m., our very first post-return listener parties. We got more details on that coming up next week, so you're going to be listening on that. That's all right, we're here exciting. With Scott Dally from FilmFever.org. We've been talking about worst sequels to bad films. Now, have you seen... I know you guys are, you and Aaron Geek in the city are working on this new... You're putting together a podcast or
yes,
a thing? Or
the
is
greatest
that,
podcast ever.
Is that now? Is that really? Is it done? Is it gonna?
It's happening. We ordered the equipment this week. Hopefully, our equipment is sitting on Aaron's doorstep as we speak. Tomorrow, we're gonna hopefully record the first show. But regardless when we get the equipment, the first show will be posted by the end of next week.
Excellent.
And so we're gonna try to get it up on iTunes. Tim has graciously offered to help us with that.
Is that gonna be at the? Is that gonna be an Aaron site? You'll be able to find
we're
that.
We're gonna do it through Aaron's site. We're gonna try to figure out a way to do it through my site, and we're gonna try to get it. Clyde's gonna help us a little bit as well. So we got a lot of support. We're really excited. It's going to be Film Fever Radio, and Aaron Geek in the City is going to take care of the current film reviews, and I'm going to be talking about film news and DVD reviews, DVD releases, and all kinds of good stuff. So we're really excited.
Speaking of which, is there anything good coming out? I don't even know what's coming out in the theater. There's Basic Instinct 2, and then...
Ice Age 2 comes out today as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, and DVD this week, King Kong came out in DVD this week.
Right.
Couple things about King Kong. Number one, it's the first film Universal is offering on the Universal Online.
Oh,
you can buy
yeah, but it's like
for $40
bucks or something. $80?
No. I'm exaggerating.
F that, no.
It's ridiculous. But there is going to be a special Kong-sized Peter Jackson Uber version coming out in a few months. So if you're a big King Kong fan, hold off and buy the DVD this week because it'll be out in a Lord of the Rings-style format
I'm
here
not gonna be
in a few
that.
Months. Nor am I, but that's out. 50 Cent, Get Rich or Die Twine.
Did you just say Fitty?
I did say Fitty.
Oh.
Okay, that's so sad.
It is sad, isn't it?
See, I can't say it. I say 50.
Fitty.
It's like gangsta. Yeah. I can't say that. I always say gangster.
I know, I can't say abbreviations of things.
Gangster?
Yeah.
Rap?
50 Cent's effort to be Eminem and Get Rich or Die Twine.
Get twi-twying. You went from all street to all gay there in like half a second.
Hey, it's a skill I have. That comes out on DVD this week, too. Get Rich or Die Trying.
All right.
There we go. Thank you very much.
And that's it. So
yeah,
so other than Basic Instinct 2, there's really no reason to see anything this weekend.
Ice Age 2. I think it's going to be fun.
Or Beaver Vendetta.
Beaver Vendetta is going to be good. But I think Ice Age 2 is going to be fun. If you like the first one.
And I like Leguizamo.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm a big fan of John Leguizamo.
As am I. All right. That little Scrat character is
This email says about Monica. Rick, you missed the clue. She said she was in your building, the coin building. She said, quote, in a cubicle in this building. Do your research. I'm sure you have no problem tracking her down. Yeah, thank you. That's a good idea. So I was looking through the company directory. And I found out you park in space 75.
Go through and look at all the Monicas for you.
I didn't hear her say
total.
I didn't hear this building.
I didn't hear that. I think.
You know, I thought that she might have said that.
Really?
Mm-hmm. She's talking.
Well, damn.
Rickman had a little stalker.
I think Monica's going to have a little stalker. The sales department listens to this show. She's going to have several guys stopping by, let me do a thing. So
we're also going to post Film Fever Radio podcast on my MySpace account, on Aaron's MySpace account, and we also created the Film Fever Radio MySpace account.
I got
so
somebody
inundate MySpace.
I got added yesterday. I got a friend request on MySpace. And it was like, blank wants to be your friend.
Yeah.
And it was wham with an exclamation mark. And then the little photo was George Michael spanking Andrew Ridgely's ass in the Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go video.
You had Adam, right?
It was, I'm like, yeah. I was like, I don't even care if it's not really them. Like, in my mind, it's totally George Michael.
So tell me this about your MySpace thing really quickly. I got this MySpace friends request from someone named Michelle. She's like a model. And it's like, who is this person?
Who cares?
I have no idea.
She's a model.
Yeah, whatever. It was very strange.
No, a lot of those girls like to seem more popular, so they like
it's
to
totally
like
a high school thing.
Go
too.
Out and yeah.
It totally is
possible.
A high school. Like I've got 6,000 friends. How many do you?
I'm very
nobody
new to
wants
MySpace.
To be the Martha dump truck of the MySpace set. You know what I mean?
I'm very new to it, so I'm still learning the ways.
We want to thank Scott Daly from filmfever.org. We want to thank Gary Baumgarten and Ed McCarthy from CNN Radio. Don't forget, Rick Emerson Listener Party 9 comes up Thursday, April 20th, 420. Sabalas Mount Tabor details happening next week, so be listening. And don't forget to go to Johnson970.com and sign up for your chance to represent the city or the suburbs in Sport Fight 15, being put on by Sport Fight 15. Matt Lindland, Randy Couture next week. Rick Emerson Show produced by Sarah X. Dillon for Johnson 970. In the newsroom, Tim Riley. I'm Rick Emerson. See you Monday. Then I'll let you scratch your head. Bye.